గోవిందదేశికం ఉపాస్య శిరాయ భక్త్యాం తస్మిన్ స్థితే నిజమాహిమ్ని విదేహముక్త్యాం అద్వైత్య భాష్యం ఉపకల్ప దిశో విజిత్యాం కాంచీపురే స్థితం అవాపసా శంకరాయ రితిస్మృతి పురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాద శంకరం లోకశంకరం అపార కరుణా సింధుం జ్ఞానతం శాంతరూపిణం శ్రీచంద్రశేఖర గురుం ప్రణమామి ముదామ్యహం సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సీకింగ్ ద బెనిడిక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఆది శంకరాచార్య అండ్ టు హిస్ లీనియేజ్ అప్ టు ద 70th గురు ఆఫ్ ద వెనరేటెడ్ కామకోటి పీఠం పూజ్య శ్రీ శంకర విజయేంద్ర సరస్వతి స్వామి ఐ రైజ్ టు అడ్రస్ యూ టుడే. ఇట్ గివ్స్ మీ గ్రేట్ ప్లెజర్ టు వెల్కమ్ యూ ఆల్ టు దిస్ ప్లెసెంట్ అండ్ సాలెమ్ ఫంక్షన్ ఆర్గనైజ్ దిస్ ఈవినింగ్ టు కన్ఫర్ ద 22nd SIS శ్రీ చంద్రశేఖరేంద్ర సరస్వతి నేషనల్ ఎమినెన్స్ అవార్డ్ టు 4 డిస్టింగ్విష్డ్ సిటిజన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కంట్రీ అండ్ టు 1 ఫారినర్ who by his conduct and action is far more Indian than most Indians do. Each one of them come from a distinct field of human endeavor, the aggregate of which encompasses the full gamut of life itself. In a sense, therefore, this award is celebration of life. Time has indeed flown. It was as if a few years before we had instituted this award. Over the passage of time, over 2 decades and more, 84 men and women of letters, distinction, extraordinary accomplishments have been blessed and decorated with this award. This journey of celebrating human excellence continues. This award is named after Mahaswami of Kanchi, Pujya Shri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati, the 68th Shankaracharya of the venerated Kamakoti Peetham. An occasion like this is one of joy, mirth and glee, and of course of nostalgia down the memory lane as to how an ordinary Kannadiga Brahmin boy from the Hoysala community, from an obscure village called as Vidupuram in Tamil Nadu, graduated over time to become one of the tallest saints of this country in the 20th century. During a century-long sojourn in this universe, the sage walked the length and breadth of this country, spreading goodwill and compassion all around. Like the lighthouse that beats no drum and sounds no gong, and yet to the mariner in the distant sea where to experience its friendly light, so too was the sage of Kanchi, who radiated blessings all around. He was a spiritual colossal. He was the voice of eternal India. This master of masters was a lambent light who rekindled the spirit of the nation and brought about a renaissance in many a fields of religion, thought and process. He taught mankind groping in the dark, despite all the strides in science and technology, as to how to journey to a higher destiny, how to attain Atma Swaraj, freedom of the self. It is difficult to erase from our memory that gentle face and those frail hands which were lifted in blessings of the humanity. He shed his mortal coil on the 8th of January 1994. More than a quarter of a century has elapsed since he is moving from the seen to unseen. We still hear the divinity of his voice and the infinitude of his presence. The sage of Kanchi lives in the hearts and minds of his devotees. If you are meeting today to pay encomiums to the sage, extol his virtues and greatness, I believe it is immaterial to him today as it was during his living times. He was far beyond honors, titles and accolades, and we mortals were ever in need of honoring him as a way of symbolizing the reality that he represented for us. He carried his scholarship, erudition, without any sign of pedantry. He never suffocated himself nor others who came into contact with him. He was like a cool breeze on a warm, sunny day. To those of us who are fortunate to have met him and conversed with him, it is what Sant Jnaneshwar describes in Jnaneshwari as Amrutanubhava, the experience of a nectar when you have met and conversed with the sage. The year that has gone by since the awards were last given on the 17th of December 2019, it is about to go by, has been a mixed bag of joy, ecstasy, as well pain, sorrow and anguish. Sri Nanaji Deshmukh was decorated with this award in the year 2008. The government of India conferred on him, albeit posthumously, the highest civilian honor, the Bharat Ratna. Swami Satyamitrananji Maharaj, Giri Maharaj, was blessed with this award in the year 2007. He was a Nivrutta Shankaracharya, the founder of Bharat Mata Mandir, an erudite scholar. He was one of the greatest exponents of Vedas and Vedantas. In fact, to those of us who were privileged and fortunate to have heard him, Na Bhuto Na Bhavishyati, you can never hear an address like the likes of Swami Satyamitrananji Maharaj. He attained Samadhi on the 25th of June this year, 2019, leaving a big void in the spiritual world. His Pradhama Shishya, Swami Akshanandji Maharaj, who is now the present head of Bharat Mata Mandir, who is the chief of the Juna Akada, into his mantle and shoulders have fallen the responsibility of carrying forward this Sanatana Dharma. And I'm sure the blessings of the sage of Kanchi and his own guru are there on him to fill this void that has been created. Srimati Sushma Swaraj had an extraordinary political and human connect and humanitarian streak. She was endowed with several qualities, the like of which have never been seen in most of the politicians. In her passing away, an era came to an end, post-political politics of this independent India. Her demise marked the evanescence of a brand of politics, of its thought and process. She defined even limits of political rivalry. She never breached levels of decency in public life and maintained decorum at all times. She always used to say, She says, Jamkar dushmani karo, bas itni gunjaish rahe, phir kabhi dost ban jaye, to sharminda na ho. She was decorated with this award in the year 2012. Srimati, that masterly address, that scholarship that flowed between Sanskrit, Hindi and English on that day when she received the award, extolling the greatness of this language of this country, is still fresh in our minds. She endowed a very large sum of money to this society of ours to carry forward the provocation of Sanskrit through our learning process. We remember all of them as we confer the awards today. This year is the sesquicentennial celebrations of the father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi. The meeting of the Mahan and the Mahatma makes a very interesting reading. Bapu was on a tour of South India in the second half of 1927. He had gone there to spread the Congress ideology and also to mobilize funds for the Congress party. Kasturi, the editor of Hindu, and the freedom fighter S. Satyamurthy had briefed him about the greatness of a young sage who had come to the Kamakoti Peetham. Gandhi had expressed a desire that he should meet him. And when Gandhi came in the month of October to Palakkad, to Kerala, the occasion came. On the 15th of October 1927, Sri Rajaji Rajagopalachari accompanied Bapu to meet the Swamiji in village Neliseri in Palakkad district. The Swamiji was camping in a cow shed. Bapu came and squatted on the floor where the Swamiji was seated. For a very long time, the deliberations alternated between Sanskrit and Hindi. It covered diverse subjects. They agreed to disagree on certain subjects as well. The shadows had lengthened for the day, and Rajaji, who decided to consciously keep away so that there is a 1:1 interaction between the sage and Bapu, peeped in to remind Bapu that it is time for Sandhya Vandan and Ratra Bhojan. Bapu retorted that I've had so much of it today. My stomach is full, my limbs, my body, everything is pregnated with so much of wisdom and thought that this young sage has given to me. I can have nothing more. That evening, Bapu addressed a public meeting in Coimbatore. And there he recounted the meeting with the Swamiji without divulging the conversation that they had. But he did mention that as he was leaving, the Swamiji blessed him. He was very young then. He blessed him and there were several fruits before the Swamiji. He picked up one fruit and gave to Bapu. And believe me, that was the only fruit that Bapu liked so much. In all his life, and he wondered whether the Swamiji had a premonition that he will have it. That was orange. It was as if an answer of the sage to Rajaji that the meal for the night has already been provided. Bapu took it as a prasad and consumed it before coming to Coimbatore for the public meeting. I did mention to you that they agreed to disagree on several subjects. It was not that in 1927 when they met for the first time that they had different perceptions and viewpoints on subjects. It was as early as 1919 that the Swamiji differed with Bapu. The Swamiji was very young then. At the age of 25, he had decided to start a Ganga Yatra, and therefore he came to Rameshwaram. It was called the Setu Ganga Yatra. In 1999, the sage came to Dhanushkoti. And when he came to Dhanushkoti, the call for Swadeshi Jagran had come from Bapu. Bapu had also exhorted Indians to give up foreign cloth, particularly the milk cloth, and take on to Khadi, not just as a means of survival for the rural folk of this country, but also as an identity for Indians through Khadi. The young sage was enamored by the call, and he immediately took on to take Khadi. He mobilized all his bhaktas overnight, and next morning in Dhanushkoti, he took the ceremonial bath and decided to give up the milk cloth and take on to Khadi. For 75 long years, from 1919 till his Videha Mukti in 1994, the Swamiji only wore Khadi. It so happened that after he had completed the formalities, those days the congressmen were burning milk cloth, and the Swamiji did not like that. He said, however inert it be, there are better ways to dispose it of than to wear it, and certainly not to burn it. And therefore he said, it is better that I put it into the sea rather than burn it. But that afternoon during his puja, there was palpable tension evident in the face of the sage. There was anxiety that was growing in his mind. This was known to the audience, the devotees who had come to witness it. That evening when he started his sermon, which is a regular course during his yatra, he recounted that he probably made a mistake. He took in haste the call of Bapu for Swadeshi. Little did he realize what would be the consequence to the textile workers of Manchester, to their families, particularly the women folk, to the young children. And he therefore felt that indulgence of time should have been given to the crown, so that, and he said that is 6 months time maximum, so that the crown can identify newer markets for the milk cloth and we can progressively switch over to Khadi. This was the equanimity, this was the compassion, this was the world view, the humanitarian view of a young sage, and that too people who had stifled upon our freedom, converted us into a vassal state and reduced us to people with no identity. True to the Upanishadic values of life, he preached what he practiced. I am Nijah Parovedi, Gananam Laguchetasam, Udhara Charitanam Tu, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. He lived and practiced that world view of life. The Swamiji was a thinker far ahead of his time. His qualities of head and heart, I don't think can be compacted in one single address like this. That will bring home the glory of sainthood itself and the greatness of the sage himself. Over the last 21 years from the same Vyasapita, I have been bringing out at least one attribute, one identity, one thought of the sage and expounded it. I would prefer to follow the same path this evening as well, but albeit very briefly cover one subject, the views of the Swamiji on that. The four Mahanubhavas who are assembled on the stage today, through their calling of their profession, have a common denominator. All of them are engaged in public service. Be it to the government, be it to the people, be it to devotees, be it to the country, or be it to the world, including the Chinese scholar whose profile was given to you before. Each one of them are engaged in public service. The glue that binds all of them is the public service. I shall therefore expound the views of the Swamiji on Janaseva, as he said this. I repeat what he said verbatim, but he said that in Tamil. I am going to say that in English. The sage said, I am prone to the conclusion that there exists none in this world without predominantly selfish motives. Over the years, an impression has gathered on me, albeit superficially, which is true to my nature, that there tread and continue to tread on this earth some souls which are deeply rooted in morals and ethics. They give up their own sadhana and spiritual empowerment for the sake of others. It is for the like of them that the rishis of the yore had prayed for 100 years. In honoring them, we honor ourselves. The sage went further and said, a person may be fortunate to have got several opportunities in life, but he'll be most fortunate if he gets an opportunity to serve others. Swami Vivekananda once said, the land which has attained the highest as far as generosity, calmness, purity and charity and service is concerned, that land is called as India. Bapu always used to say that I experience and see God by service to people, for I know he does not live there nor down, but he is in all of us. Rabindranath Tagore echoed the same thoughts of the sage of Kanchi when he said, I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I woke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. The sage of Kanchi always used to conclude his address by saying, no nation, no society, no community can progress unless the public institutions existing therein work for the fulfillment of its people. This is the greatness of the thought which brought all these four people together over here. The four Mahanubhavus who are decorating the stage today, as I have told you, are men of extraordinary accomplishments. I do not propose going at length on their profile and their achievements. It's carrying coal to Newcastle. Any event, the citation is going to carry in brief in Sanskrit their achievements. Suffice if I can say, they are men and women who have stamped infinity on the thought and process of this nation and added to the reservoir of goodness of this blessed land. Let me go back to the Swamiji and say, in honoring them, we are honoring ourselves. As I come to the end of my address this evening, may the Jaganmatu, Kamakoti, Kamakshi shed her grace on all of them. May they live as long as they want to achieve the purpose of their life. May they continue ever to be beacons of light and inspiration, not just for this generation, for generations to follow. May the Akhilanta Koti Brahmanda Nayaki bless us too, so that we can draw a leaf from the life of nobility of these people and make our life sublime. Thank you and God bless.